high drive into right center field. That's where he was hitting them during batting practice tonight. And he has done it yet again. Aristides Aquino, a two-run big fly, his eighth in 11 games.
That's a new Major League Baseball record, and this kid was called up to the Reds. He was tearing up at AAA because the Reds traded Yasiel Puig to the Indians. Otherwise, this kid would still be in AAA.
Yeah.
So I'd say the Reds have made the right move so far. Now it's a matter of pitchers adjusting. 8 home runs in 12 games. That is insane. And he's not just barely hitting them out. He's jacking them out. So obviously he's on steroids. I'm kidding.
Pretty clear.
I'm kidding. I hope not. But anyway, hits another one last night, and it's just amazing what he's doing. He's got all these people that are veterans and teammates and manager, just they're in awe. They just like, wow, what can we say? This kid is just in an amazing zone. Now pitchers are going to probably start to pitch around him, you would think,
yeah,
a little bit. But I don't know if there's a hole in his batting style at all, at least so far. Major League pitchers haven't figured it out.
But, I mean, he was hitting .299, too, in AAA. Yeah. It's not like he was, like, striking out a lot, I don't think.
No.
So.
No, that's good stuff. And then also, speaking of home runs, and here's the thing. Major League Baseball is all about home runs now. We've talked about this. It's all about hitting home runs or striking out. The Yankees and the Orioles got together for a day-night doubleheader at Yankee Stadium, and the Yankees, they won both games, so they've now beaten Baltimore 14 straight times. So basically Baltimore's helping hand them the division.
Yeah.
The two teams combined for a whole bunch of home run history on Monday. The Yankees hit 7 home runs in a doubleheader, 4 in the first game, 3 in the night game. And with that, the Baltimore Orioles already, right now, have allowed the most home runs in a single season in American League history. And we still have, what, 30 games to play?
Yeah.
40 to games to play?
At least, yeah, because you go to the end of September, so that's probably 35 to 40 games left still.
Major League Baseball record is 258 homers allowed by the 2016 Reds. Baltimore's given up 248 and plenty of games to play. The Baltimore Orioles are on pace to allow their pitching staff allow 338 home runs.
Ouch.
Which would blow the record away by 80, which tells you the ball is juiced.
Yeah.
There is no question about it. You can't tell when Baltimore's just suddenly, come on. Home runs are up across the board. And all you got to do is look at the Kansas City Royals, too. But before we get to that, Gleyber Torres now has 13 home runs against the Baltimore Orioles, just against one team. He has 13 homers. And the all-time record for most homers against one team in a single season in the history of Major League Baseball, Lou Gehrig in 1936 with the Yankees against the Indians. He had 14 against Cleveland, 23 games. Gleyber Torres is going to have another shot to play the Orioles again. I think there's 3 more games with Baltimore, and he could certainly tie or break that record. So the Yankees feasting on Baltimore pitching, that's for sure. Speaking of home runs, Jorge Soler, player of the week in the American League, along with that Aquino guy that we just talked about, hitting a ton of home runs that's being called up. He's a National League player of the week. Soler hit .409. In 7 games, he had 2 multi-homer games. He had 7 homers during the trip, and he now has 35 homers on the season, just 3 shy of the single-season record held by Mike Moustakas, who had 38 just 2 years ago in 2017. So Jorge Soler is the first Royal since Eric Hosmer to win Player of the Week.
Interesting.
That's what I saw on Twitter, so it has to be true.
Well, yeah, everything you read on Twitter.
Maybe that's not true, but I think it is.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it's true. I mean, I'll believe it's true. I don't know why it would be made up. And plus, I like to think it's true because it helps lead me into what I want to say
yeah,
next.
Exactly.
And that is that the Royals, their 2020 schedule has been released. The Royals will host the Dodgers, the D-backs, and the
San Diego Padres.
Why would I bring up the San Diego Padres as being a big deal?
Because Eric Hosmer plays for the San Diego Padres.
And he used to play for, of course, the Kansas City Royals. And we talked about the ovations that Kane and Moustakas have received when they've come back to the K. But we've said all along, Hosmer will probably get the biggest one. And he will be coming to Kansas City July 24th through the 26th in 2020. So get your tickets now. Actually, I don't think you can get them now yet. But anyway, get on that season ticket list that's just, you know, almost sold out already for the Royals. But, yes, the Royals are going to host the Dodgers, the Padres, and the D-backs. The Royals are going to start their season. This makes complete sense. March 26th, the earliest start date ever for the Royals in Major League Baseball history for them. Yeah, that's right. March 26th. So, of course, they're going to play where? They're going to play in a dome.
Tampa.
They're going to play somewhere warm. they're going to play what? L.A., right?
L.A.
Almost. Tampa. Chicago. They're going to play March 26th in Chicago. I'm sure the weather will be nice and 80 and balmy and perfect. Okay. Anyway, that's who they're going to start with. Their home opener will be April 2nd of 2020 against the Seattle Mariners, if I remember correctly. So that's when they will start. Yes, it will be Seattle on April the 2nd. And the 91st Major League All-Star Game will be played at Dodger Stadium next year. The Royals will go to Colorado. So if you're Rockies slash Royals fan, you can go to Colorado and watch the Royals play at Colorado June 22nd through the 24th. I know that we have a local connection in regards to Arizona and the D-backs. Last I knew, there was Isabel that was still working for the D-backs. Mm-hmm. And so the Royals going out to Arizona August 17th, 18th. They'll go to San Francisco. They'll go out there very often. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned, they're going to Colorado. It's the first time they go to Colorado on Coors Field since 2014. So that's the Royals 2020 schedule. Read more about it at kcroyals.com. The Royals are in action tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. It's the first of two games, and the Royals will send to the mound Glenn Sparkman, ERA of 5.71, 3-7. And then tomorrow night, it will be Brad Keller on the hill for the Royals. And then the Mets come to town for a three-game set coming up on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the Royals actually have two off days this week, yesterday and then on Thursday, which is pretty rare this late in the season.
It is. That's kind of what I thought, because you were reading the schedule yesterday. I hadn't looked that far ahead, and you was like, they have Thursday off, and they start Friday against the Mets. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is weird.
Monday and Thursday off in the same week.
It is a little bit odd, no doubt about it. You know, because they have those days off, probably because they play early in the year in Chicago,
yeah,
in Detroit.
They have to build those
so
in
they're
just
hoping,
in case they have
just
to,
in case there's postponements. So.
Or your game goes until 1 o'clock in the morning, and you know the rain's not going to stop. So they.
Right.
August 22nd,
yes.
Let's come to Boston
let's
again.
Let's go to Boston and finish up a 10th inning game. Yep, sounds good. All right, Chiefs training camp yesterday, really the focus was on the newest Chief, Morris Claiborne, who was picked up as a free agent. He is suspended for the first four games of the season. So Claiborne talked in front of the media at training camp yesterday, as did Andy Reid. And so let's focus on Claiborne. He's a guy that's been in the league for, I think, 7 years. Mm-hmm. He was a free agent, still has skills. He's not a washed-up player. Played at LSU. Tyrann Mathieu played at LSU. They're good friends. And Claiborne, he's got to get acclimated to what's going to take place. And he talks about why he picked Kansas City in the first place.
It was a lot of teams. You know, I was getting calls from a lot of different places. And, you know, this just seemed like it fit more. And, you know, and I could tell, you know, from the coaching staff to the owner, you know, they really wanted me. And, you know, and I can feel it. You know, I can feel the energy from them. And like I said, I know that they have a great team. And, you know, I know we're going to be playing in the playoffs. And, you know, our goal is to win that Super Bowl.
And when you have Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback, that helps draw a few free agents to your team. And Tyrann Mathieu mentioned that when he signed with the Chiefs. That certainly helps the cause. You can say, hey, look here, we got this guy at number 15 who's probably going to be the best quarterback in the league for quite some time. As long as he stays healthy, why don't you come with us and help us win a Super Bowl or two or three or whatever it may be. How about the Chiefs get one first before we talk about two or three?
Yeah.
Claiborne talked about the plans during suspension.
Yes, if I'm able to stay here, you know, I don't know what the rules are just yet on everything or how that worked. But, you know, if I'm able to be here, you know, I plan on being here every single day and doing everything that I can do here, you know, for when that time comes for me to step on the field to give myself the best opportunity to be ready. Right now, it's not about money for me, you know, right now. You know, it's about going out playing football. And, you know, I put myself in a situation this offseason where, you know, I feel like I put myself in a hard, tough situation for myself and for owners and teams and, you know, my agents, you know, to be able to negotiate. I put all of us in a tough situation. And, you know, and I own up to everything I do. I'm a grown man. And, you know, I can't do nothing about that situation. You know, I'm sorry it happened, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, I can't do nothing about it. I can only move on right now. But like I said, this is my job. This is what I do. I play football. And at the end of the day, you know, this is how I feed my family. you know, playing this game. So you can say it's about the money because you want to get paid, but, you know, ultimately I just want to go out and I want to play football, you know, and just go do what I do.
Okay, so he talks about learning with his new team.
I'm just learning the defense. I started yesterday, you know, meeting with the coaches, and, you know, I had my playbook over the weekend, so, you know, I was able to, you know, read some of the terminology and stuff like that, you know, but at the end of the day, football is football. You know, it's the terminology and stuff that's different that you have to learn and, you know, to be on the same page with everybody else.
All right, so a late start for Claiborne joining camp this week. Talks about getting into playing shape.
I feel like it's a couple days. You know, you can do all the working out you want to do, you know, by yourself or, you know, not in this environment. But when you get in this environment, you know, it's totally different. You know, you got to get your legs on. I feel like today I was just on the ground a little bit too much, you know, and I know that's all part of, you know, coming back, you know, without playing football in a while. And when you come back, you expect some of those things.
By the way, he got smoked by Tyreek Hill yesterday. But that's going to happen to a lot of guys.
First day out back there.
Yeah. Hey, congrats. You got to go against the fastest guy in the league. Yeah, welcome back. We'll see. Oh, yeah, you're a little rusty. I could be sharp as a tack, and I'm still going to get beat by Tyreek Hill 101. Andy Reid talks about adding Claiborne to the team.
We got to ease him into this thing. I mean, he hasn't played any in the offseason, and he's coming off an injury, right? So we're just going to ease him in on this thing and see how he does and get a feel on where he's at. So, but you know, he came out and worked, and I thought it was good work. But it's gonna take him a couple days, probably get his legs and that, and we'll see.
So, Morris Claiborne, the latest or newest chief on the roster to help in with some depth there in the secondary, but he cannot play until week 5 of the NFL season due to a suspension. The Chiefs, one of the big spots that we've been watching is the backup tight end position, and you know that your team is a Super Bowl contender when you're worried about the backup tight end position.
Yeah.
And that's a focal point for people to talk about. That tells you that there aren't lots of major issues everywhere on this team. Yeah, there's issues we know on defense. We get all that. Andy Reid talks about the backup tight end battle, the guy that's going to back up Travis Kelce or be the second tight end in double tight end sets.
Yeah, I like the competition there, and we're going to keep it going, you know. I don't think anybody separated themselves at that second spot. I thought they all did a pretty good job. So at the line of scrimmage and in the pass game. So I think just a matter of playing more is important.
The Chiefs did pick up a tight end yesterday, and they let go of Josh Caldwell, who we were talking about, Kansas City kid that has no chance of making the team. We talked about yesterday just because the Chiefs have a plethora of pretty solid running backs. And so they have another tight end that they add to the mix. And so we'll it's not even posted on kcchiefs.com that they have that guy.
He's not going to be on the team.
Well, no, but you would think they would show, and they let go of Caldwell. They don't have that as a story on CBS or on kcchiefs.com. Like, okie dokie.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Caldwell is a younger talent, but he's not on the team anymore. Andy Reid does talk about the young talent on this team.
Yeah, it's a good problem. That's why you really want to maximize how much you play those young guys if you can, and still get your veteran guys ready. But you want to make sure, I try not to miss on the other guys and keep the best players possibly can. So that's what we're doing. But that doesn't mean – I mean, Brett's always got his eyes open, so he's not going to change that. He's always on top of things, and he's going to – if we bring somebody in, I don't want you coming back and saying, I told you, you know, because, I mean, he's always looking and to try to improve the roster.
That's the thing. That's why Andy Reid's paid the big money, and the coaching staff, and Brett Veach, and that is to identify the guys that are the best talent, guys that are still got good talent but doesn't fit this organization,
yeah.
Or we have too many running backs, too many wide receivers. You better not get rid of the wrong guy, because if you do, that'll come back and haunt you.
Yeah,
it's happened before. We've seen it in all sports. So the Chiefs. You had a comment yesterday I saw on Twitter that people apparently are upset Josh Caldwell was cut.
Yeah, they love this like Kansas City kid, and they're like, "Oh, we can't get rid of the Kansas City kid like that." And I'm like,
well, "Who are we going to cut?"
Okay,
then?
So you're not going to. He's playing in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter
right.
of the preseason
against
game.
Four
he's not going to make
defense.
The team.
Right.
Okay,
sure.
So what they did with Josh Caldwell yesterday was they did him a favor.
Absolutely.
If he wants to play in the NFL this year, now he's free to go find a team to play on.
Yep.
That saw what he did in the final 2 minutes of that game, the 47-yard run, a 4-yard touchdown right after that, and maybe they like what they saw there. So he's got a chance to get another job that he's clearly not going to have when they break training camp, probably, and definitely not when they make their first cutdowns.
Right.
Okay, so they did him a favor, and everybody's just flipping out because he's from Kansas City. He's like, oh, you got to keep the local kid. He had a good game on. You don't keep a kid based on one game, first of all. And second of all, if he's playing in the last 10 minutes of the preseason, he's out, okay? So I get it. You gotta show love for the local guy, the Kansas City guy. You love to see it. You love to see Bubba Starling coming up and doing good things with the Royals because he's from the area.
Sure.
Okay, but you don't keep a guy because of that when it's not helping you or him in the long run.
Should the Chiefs and the Royals just draft only guys that are from Kansas City? That's basically how
that's what those people, like those people that talk like that, you would think that's probably what they think, you know?
And
like,
you'd
just
be
get
bad.
All the Kansas City. Yeah, it would be terrible.
You'd be a horrible team. Not that you wouldn't have some talent, but well, that's just ridiculous. I mean, that's just people not knowing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not knowing football.
They're not knowledgeable about the business of football at all.
They see a guy, like, oh, well, that kid had a touchdown and he ran for a long run. What they don't know is you ran against a four-string defensive guys.
Yeah.
You also... You also don't realize that they have Damian Williams, Darrell Williams, Carlos Hyde, and a kid that looked a lot better than even this kid earlier in the game against the second, third-string defenses, Darwin Thompson. You can't keep every running back on your roster. Hello. So, yes, you're absolutely right. The Chiefs did him a huge favor. One, they showcased him late in the game, so there's some film on him. So then other teams can go, oh, hey, you know, we might want to pick that kid up. And they ain't going to trade him and get much for him. They knew that. So they cut him, and they allow him to go find a job. So they did a favor for the local kid. So you're absolutely right, Dusty. And some people just, you know, people just complain. People complain. I'm like, so who, you know, what are you gonna do? You're gonna cut Carlos Hyde for Josh Caldwell? Are you gonna you're gonna cut Damian Williams? Who the heck are you gonna cut? What are you gonna carry? Seven running backs? come on. They don't. Those people saying that stuff just don't know what the heck they're talking about.
No, they don't.
They're all emotional, and they're the same people that probably said that we need to keep Eric Berry no matter what, no matter what we gotta pay him. Well, that was a mistake, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, the latest on Antonio Brown, well, he got cold feet after hearing the verdict on his helmet. He says now that he's going to play.
He literally got cold feet.
Yeah, he literally has got cold feet. The whole argument was that he wanted to keep his old helmet, which is 12 years old, anything more than 10 years old, which he can't wear, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, sounds like he's going to play. The last we saw or heard from him, it says he will reportedly return to the Raiders facility today, but no timeline for when he can practice because he has the frostbitten feet from wearing the wrong footwear in a cryotherapy lab. So, hey, whatever. Keep on moving on, Antonio Brown. Dak Prescott reportedly was offered $30 million to play football, and he's turned it down. He's seeking $40 million per year. Okay, so let me think about this for a second. Dak Prescott, nice quarterback, not great. And if he didn't have Ezekiel Elliott, I think we'd really find out how good he really is. He was offered an average salary of $30 million per year. How does this impact the Chiefs? Think about this for a second. If the Cowboys are crazy enough to give Dak Prescott $40 million a year or whatever he wants, Patrick Mahomes will now get $50.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm Patrick Mahomes' agent, I look at Dak Prescott and go, what has he done? What has Dak Prescott done? Won a playoff game? So is my guy. MVP? Nope. Is he throwing 5,000 yards? Nope. 50 touchdowns? Nope. Has he carried a team when they really needed it without a key running back? Nope. Because Mahomes did. Because Kareem Hunt was out for the last half of the season in the playoffs. This is bad news for the Chiefs in regards to the price going up with Patrick Mahomes if the Cowboys cave. I don't think the Cowboys are going to cave.
Oh, you're going to give him 40.
You're insane to give him 40.
No, yeah.
I don't think Dak Prescott's worth 30. And I don't think he's a bad quarterback. But this is where things got out of hand. And so this is where the sooner the Chiefs could get something done with Patrick Mahomes, probably the better.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, because if there ends up being a couple teams that end up giving up too much money, overpaying for a couple of quarterbacks, such as Dak Prescott or somebody else, the Chiefs' price to keep Patrick Mahomes goes up. The sooner you can lock him in, you'll save money. That's why you try to get these guys on contract extensions. All you got to do, go look no further than when Jay Cutler got his big deal with the Chicago Bears. That drove the price of Alex Smith up.
Oh, yeah.
And Alex Smith was a better quarterback, and we knew that. And that drove the price up for the Chiefs and Alex Smith because the Bears were dumb enough to give Jay Cutler that much money. Now, quarterbacks, you may be listening right now and go, nobody's worth $30 million, nobody's worth $40 million. I agree. Regular people in the whole world, I agree with you. But in the landscape of football, if this guy's getting already $35 million and you're better than him, then your market value should be more than $35 million a year.
Yeah.
Now, all these numbers are just flat out crazy and nuts. And I agree with the average Joe out there listening going, nobody should be paid that money. True. But the fact is, there are. Like, if you're a great actor and some average actor is getting $20 million a film, and that same Paramount Pictures comes to you and says, hey, we'll give you $20 million to do this film, you're like, I'm twice the actor he is.
Yeah.
I want 40. I want 30. I ain't doing 20. This is the way it's called free market.
Yeah, and listen, if I'm Dak Prescott, okay,
I get as much
I'm
as
in
I
my
can.
Third, I'm going into my fourth year.
Yeah,
I get okay. As much. I don't settle for $30 million when I just saw that Russell Wilson made $35 million at the age of 30
right.
on a yearly basis.
Yep,
he's 30. I'm 26. I've led my team to the playoffs 2 out of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I have another playoff run here this year, and maybe even a deep run,
right.
no matter who the players are on my team, if I help lead that team to an NFC Championship game, let's say,
mm-hmm.
not quite the Super Bowl, but an NFC Championship, I'm already driving my price up. Jimmy Garoppolo is making 27 per on his deal right now, and he started right. 8 games for the 49ers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah. mm-hmm.
he's got so much stuff that he can go back on and look at and say, hey, I'm worth more than this. I'm worth more than what you are offering me right now.
Right.
And I'm only in my fourth year. I don't need to settle right now. If I have another good year, I can get more money in the long run, get a better signing bonus, and move on from that. That's
right.
that's what I'm looking at, because people like yesterday were like, why would you turn down $30 million? Because you think you're worth more than that in the quarterback market right now. It's not about what you feel that guy's worth.
Right.
He feels he's worth more than that. If he has another great year and gets another playoff run sure. for that team,
sure.
he is worth more than that based on what the market says.
Exactly. Carson Wentz signed a 4-year, $128 million extension. He's coming off a torn ACL, and it wasn't himself last year. That's $32 million a year.
Yeah.
And that's where Dak Prescott and his agent are starting. They say, we got to be $32 million to start the talks.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are offering $30, so they're $2 million apart right there. And they may very well want to go up to 35, and there was reports that he wants $40 million. And he was a fourth-round draft pick. Wentz was the number 2 overall pick. That doesn't really matter, per se, because it's based on what you do on the field. And one thing about Dak Prescott, he has been durable. He hasn't missed games and so forth and so on. But this is just the way that goes in regards to the timing of your contracts. Like, do you think Dak Prescott's a better quarterback than Matt Ryan?
No.
No, I don't think so either. But Carson Wentz is paid higher than Matt Ryan because Ryan's contract came up before they did an extension with Carson Wentz. And so it's about timing. And that's why if you're the Chiefs, you probably want to speed this up as soon as you can with Mahomes. And at the same time, if you're Mahomes, you probably want to wait it out. But there's also that middle ground of what happens if I have a horrible injury this year, which could work from both perspectives. If I'm Mahomes, well, it's kind of like Whit Merrifield. I took my money. I could have probably waited out and got more, but I got the guarantee money for 4 years, and it was a good team-friendly deal. You know, the Chiefs and Mahomes, maybe that's what they're going to work out. Mahomes, I don't think, is all about the money, but at the same time, if I know I am the face of the National Football League, and he is, the face of the National Football League, and I'm 23, and I'm going to get, the Chiefs want me to avoid free agency, and they want to avoid franchise tags down the line, and they want to pay me the money, I'm cool with that, but they better make me the highest-paid player in NFL history, and he will be. Trust me. But if Russell Wilson's getting all that money at the age of 30, imagine, and if Dak Prescott gets $32 to $35 million, and he's not even close to as good a quarterback as Patrick Mahomes, then imagine what Patrick Mahomes and his agent are going to ask for. North of 40, easy.
It's not any less than 40 at all.
That's where you start.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? Most Chiefs fans will say, cool.
Worth it.
It's worth it.
And I saw somebody yesterday, he's going to be the first to ask for a $1 trillion contract.
Yes,
some fans
1.2
like,
trillion.
Worth it.
Yes, right. Worth it till he gets hurt or he stinks.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.